Hi, I'm Tamika Smith at Travis High School in Austin, Texas, and I'm here with Ann Miller, a rare species outreach biologist. Hello. And can you give everyone a brief description of what a rare species outreach instructor does at Texas Parks and Wildlife?
Well, first let me just ask you if you think wildlife has anything to do with your day-to-day life.
No, not really, does it?
Well, think about it. Do you need water to drink every day?
Yeah.
Now, well, what does wildlife have to do with clean water? Any ideas?
Nothing.
Well, plants and animals can help provide pollution guards against pollution getting into your water. So they can filter. So clean water for you to drink, you know, has something to do with wildlife. What about the air you breathe? Where does the oxygen come from?
Trees.
Ah, yeah, see? So wildlife does have something to do with your everyday life. What about the food you eat? It's grown, you know, crops, right?
Crops, your animals.
Right. So a lot of crops wouldn't even be pollinated without insects. So we wouldn't have the food you have to eat if there weren't some insects out there. So wildlife is real important for your day-to-day life. You wouldn't be here without wildlife. So this is important, and we're concerned about rare species because we don't want different plants and animals to become extinct in the state of Texas many times before we even know how they might provide a service to humans. So we've got to keep as many a real diversity of species because our lives depend on it.
Can you name a few of the endangered species that are in Texas today?
Oh, yeah. One of the first things that come to mind are the ocelot cats that live in South Texas and the thorn scrub of South Texas. Here in Central Texas, we have some beautiful birds, the golden cheek warbler and the black-capped vireo that live in the Central Texas areas. Then, of course, the hooping crane on the coast. There's a lot. We have over 91 species of federally listed plants and animals that are listed as endangered and threatened here in Texas.
And what is your most favorite endangered species?
Gosh, that's so hard because I love so many of them. But I think the hooping crane is just one of my very favorites. It just has such a interesting history and the fact that it migrates all the way to Canada and back, and it came so close to really becoming extinct. And now it's kind of a success story because they're close to 200 now when a few decades back, it was down to like 38 total in the wild. So that's kind of a success story, and it's kind of neat.
And I see you brought these butterflies. Can you explain to us what those are for?
Well, with the group of people that I work with, they are all biologists. We've got people who are herpetologists who specialize in reptiles and amphibians, and we've got mammalogists. But we also have entomologists, and what we are doing with some programs that I'm involved with is trying to help the public, you and people like yourself, get involved with helping us to understand more about different species in our state. So these butterflies represent a project that we've got called Texas Monarch Watch. And what we are trying to do, as I said, is get people involved in learning more about wildlife in our state and helping biologists get more information. The more information we have about different species, the more we're able to see then how they connect to humans, how they're important to us, mm-hmm. and of course, help us to understand what we can do to help preserve those species. Anyway, this is just a kind of a little mock-up of a monarch butterfly, just made out of paper. And we use it as a kind of a teaching tool to help people learn about our Texas Monarch Watch. There's a tagging program. So in the fall, when the monarchs migrate through Texas, we've got people that have some tags, and I've got a tag here. I'll let you learn how to tag a monarch right now. But we've got people who learn how to tag these monarchs, and then these tagged monarchs, and I'm going to show you how to hold it too. I'm going to let you hold it by the front of the forewing, and you can put the tag right on the discal cell, which is this on the hind wing right there, right? It's real easy to tag them, and then we let them go. But what we are seeing is that when these tagged butterflies are recovered, many of them recovered in Mexico, that helps us see and study their migration. So in fact, Texas Monarch Watch is actually part of a whole national effort. And so Texas biologists are working with not only the volunteers here in Texas, but people all across the United States to help understand monarch butterflies better.
And what would happen if someone took off one of these tags?
Well, you know, the butterflies are going to be moving all the time. You're not going to be able to just sit there and take it off. But if you find a monarch that is dead somewhere and it has one of these little tags on it, what we would like for you to do, there's information on the tag there, to contact Monarch Watch and give the location of the monarch that was tagged, that was recovered, and that number on there, because the taggers do, we send those numbers back to the Monarch Watch people, and so they know exactly where that monarch was tagged and when, and then we can kind of trace where that monarch traveled.
John asked, how many species are on the endangered species list?
Okay, in Texas we have over 91 species that are federally listed as endangered and threatened. Then there are some Texas listed species as well that are just listed for our own state. So that puts the number over 100 totally.
And Kent San Saba State School asks, what is the penalty fine for killing a whooping crane?
Oh gosh, that is a great question, and I really don't know the exact amount that would be, what fine that would be, but I would imagine it would be in the neighborhood of a couple of $1,000, maybe even more, because they are federally listed.
Well, thank you for sharing your information with us. Our time is about up for today. Steve, do you have any last words for us?